something in order for it to be energized. The brain doesn't energize itself. The brain is energized when the brain is in touch with something else. So the brain has to be in touch with your heart to be energized. Has to be in touch with your appetites to be energized. And then once your brain is energized, it wants to serve the need. The brain wants to serve the need in the heart.
That's right.
Yes. But now, if someone can change the intelligence system of your brain, so that your brain now is not functioning as it was created to function. It was created to make intelligent decisions. And as long as it makes intelligent decisions, it qualifies to be an authority over the body. It qualifies to be an authority over your selection of things to fulfill appetites.
Yes.
Because it knows how to distinguish between this and that.
Right. Right.
Between what is good, what is harmful. What is sensible, what is foolish. The brain. But if you ignore that, ignore the brain is the organ.
Yes.
It belongs to the body. It's a piece of flesh. It's meat. It belongs to the body. So if you continue to ignore it, it won't even respond to you. Because it's the body. It's the same thing we said for the body as a whole. It can be said for any organ that functions within the body or performs a responsibility or a duty inside the human body, like the brain, like the heart. All right. So what we need to do is understand that life is not fun. Life is not a plaything. We are conditioned to, in this new environment that we are in, environment of entertainment and fun and just going for pleasures and kicks, we are conditioned in this environment to behave toward the body, human body, as though life is all about just having fun. It's for play. It's not for real. It's for play. That's where all the problem is. That's where all the problem is. And who are the biggest fun-making people on the planet Earth? Tell me. I'm acting like I don't know. Did you say Africans? No. African-Americans. Number one camp of fun and play and foolishness, African Americans. Number two camp, Africa.
That's right.
Yes. Are we the champion of foolishness? Fun and foolishness. We the champion. And look at our condition. Now let's change the picture somewhat, or the focus somewhat. When we study how life develops, human life that is, when we study how human life develops, when it comes to maturity and making mature choices, it's no different from the way animal life develops. Baby puppies, little baby dogs, called puppies, they play more than old dogs.
That's right.
Baby cub lions, they play more than old grown-up lions. And you can just go through it. Roosters, little baby rooster play more than a grown-up rooster. The older life get, the more it get away from fun and foolishness, and the more it get towards seriousness and maintaining community life. That's life, period. Animal and man. Shouldn't that tell us that we should guard ourselves against extremes of fun and foolishness? Now, we've had help. We didn't get this crazy by ourselves. We've had a lot of help. See, the market people, the commercial people, the market people, those who look for markets everywhere to make money, to sell something, anything. Those market people, they spied us a few thousand of years ago in Africa. Oh yeah. They looked at us and said, hey, here's a market. And a big one. So these people are more given to fun than to serious matters. So let us start selling them things to feed that appetite they got for fun. And they target Africa to sell Africa fun and foolishness. Yes. Now, how come Africa was more vulnerable, a little bit more weak for such, I would say, scheme than Asians and others? Asia is a warm place. Africa is a warm place. Asia has its deserts. Africa has its deserts. Asia has some jungle. Africa has some jungle. So they're much alike in environment, aren't they? But the African lives in closer proximity. You have Asia so massive, so big. The land is so big. So animals can stay far away from human beings. Yeah. But in Africa, man and animal lives in a closer proximity. And just like Asia, Africa has many monkeys. And monkeys look like humans, and they seem to like fun. Even when a monkey is serious, to us sounds like he's having fun. He might be he might be warning another monkey, don't come over here. But he reaches us as a monkey having fun. He's laughing. We think he's laughing. If you be in a close environment with him, pretty soon his antics will rub off on you. You'll find yourself, you know, you sneeze, somebody sneeze, and you don't have a cold. After a while, another person sneeze. Something about the body, it just communicates something, certain things, and certain things are so deeply ingrained until it prompts the next person to do the same. Sneeze, after a while, somebody, choo. Somebody laughs, another person laughs. Say, what are you laughing about? I don't know, but he laughs. Yes, so it's catching. They say it's catching. So the behavior is catching. You see the monkey behavior all the time, it's catching. Monkey also have very vulgar behavior. A monkey can do some nasty things in his monkey public. He ain't like a cat. Cat want to go in privacy. Cat can find somewhere in private. Cat want to get away from onlookers and take care of his private business. But certain animals, like pigs, monkeys, and dogs, they have among them those that give themselves to public display of filth and nasty behavior, indecent behavior. Brother, you be careful taking your wife to the zoo. Especially to see the monkeys.
That's right.
You might have the embarrassment of your life. They are some nasty creatures. And scriptures say that because of their continuous rejection of God and the lifestyle that God wants for them, God let them regress, and they became monkeys. Monkeys, huh? Not knowing their shame. Are monkeys conscious of their shame, but not responding to their shame, not being shamed. Conscious of their shame, but their shame is not bothering their minds. People become like that. when they are taken over by forces in their environment and give their life to those forces and have those things ruling in their body. This ain't no new thing. It's an ancient thing. You read scripture how they had false gods, people of ancient times, long ago. They had many false gods. They built statues, huge monuments to their gods and named the god this here. One named Mu. Mu. And the word music comes from that god. The god Mu.
That's right.
Music. So this is no new thing. The science, the wise and those who know the science, the psychology behind these things, they won't tell you that you're worshiping Mu, but you are. There was never no real god named Mu that those people worshiped. But they gave themselves to fun and play, and they loved to be entertained. So they built a god, and they celebrated worship of that god by calling the people at certain times to come in the presence of that god and just have fun, like, what is that before Lent in New Orleans? Mardi Gras. Like the Mardi Gras. It takes place once a year. So at certain times, periodically, in this history of ancient worship of false gods, they would have the people all come to a big festival where they would just eat and drink and just let it all hang out. Have sex right before the god in the public, in the presence of each other. Have sex with the women and everything. Just let all of it hang out. So this ain't no new thing we see in the world today. This is an old trick played on the mind of the people to reduce them to animals so that they don't have any intelligent mind to make intelligent choices. Therefore, the market is free to sell them anything and everything. I studied the economics, and I read where, we have to stop in just a minute, and I read where there was a great meeting of business people, businessmen, and they met to see how they could stimulate the economy and get the people to buy more. And they used to say, you produce, you supply needs. Huh?
Right.
That was the old theory in economics.
Right.
The nature of economics is to supply needs. They changed it.
Right.
One of them came up with an idea. He said, let's create needs.
Right.
And sell any and everything.
Right.
So the moral life of the marketplace was lost when that idea came about. It was lost. There was a time when people selling you things in the market, they had a conscience. They wouldn't sell your children some of the things they're selling your children today. So that moral protection is gone. And I have to conclude here because our first hour has passed. But I hope that I'll speak to you again next month. This time on the first Sunday, I couldn't speak on the first Sunday this time because a major event came about and I had to prepare for it. We put it 1 week up to the 9th instead of the 1st. But inshallah, God willing, that is, I will be addressing our live from this place here in Homewood, from this Homewood Inn facility we have here, lovely facility. I'll be addressing our live radio audience. We thank you for your attendance. We thank you for your presence in the radio audience. And we pray always that we grow in goodness, we grow in health, we grow intelligently, above all, grow intelligently and manage our life, accept responsibility for your own personal life and manage it against these evil forces, against these modern day false gods that are trying to take our life from us and take our children from us and ruin and wreck our families. We have to do something about it. We have to stand up to it. So please, you right-minded people, associate with each other and form groups, clubs, committees, whatever, associations, and let good minds work with good minds. Let like minds work with like minds. And let us protect each other. We are our brother keeper. Brother keeper, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.